Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias. In late October 2023, the FDA approved Zimfentra, Infliximab DYYB, the world's first subcutaneous infliximab product. The product's development was based on Inflectra, also Infliximab DYYB, an intravenous infliximab biosimilar referencing Remicade, Infliximab. However, because the reference product does not have a subcutaneous option, Zimfentra was approved as a novel agent. Zimfentra is also approved in Europe, where it's marketed under a different brand name. The product was developed by Celltrion, a Korean pharmaceutical manufacturer that's shaping up to be a big player in the U.S. biologics space. Zimfentra's subcutaneous presentation allows for easier and more convenient self-administration for patients, particularly those with immune conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis, RA, psoriatic arthritis, PSA, and inflammatory bowel disease, IBD, an umbrella term for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. Zimfentra is also unique in that it was approved using data from two trials testing the product versus placebo in patients with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. Typically, infliximab biosimilars are tested in patients with RA or PSA and receive extrapolated indications for gastroenterology conditions. The Liberty trials offer gastroenterologists who may be wary of a subcutaneous infliximab option a degree of confidence that Zimfentra is safe and effective for patients currently on intravenous infliximab treatments. We spoke with Dr. Andre Yarer, a researcher on the Liberty trial from Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, to discuss the significance of his trial, the approval of the subcutaneous infliximab option, and what both mean for the future of IBD care. Welcome, Dr. Yarer. To start us off, what was your reaction to the FDA approval of Zimfentra?
Well, as someone that sees patients with inflammatory bowel disease on a daily basis, and considering infliximab has been around for several years and it's a very efficacious drug through the IV formulation, we are really very excited that we now have Zimfentra, which is a subcutaneous alternative for maintenance in both patients with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, and gives us the flexibility of giving the drug through a different route that can be preferred by some of our patients.
What is the significance of this approval, and how will this product help address an unmet need in the treatment of IBD?
Overall, I would say that, Zimfentra is the first subcutaneous formulation of infliximab and is the only one available right now. And that gives us a lot of benefits, considering that we know and how efficacious infliximab can be. We know how to use it, but we don't have the limitation of having to prescribe it through an infusion, which is really burdensome. It's a huge burden for some patients. So it gives us a lot of flexibility, and obviously that's that covers that unmet need of having a formulation of infliximab that can be given at home.
What is the relationship between Zimfentra and Inflectra, and how do they differ in terms of administration and clinical outcomes?
Answering your question, Zimfentra and Inflectra are both infliximab. With that said, Inflectra is a brand name for a biosimilar for infliximab that is currently available through an IV formulation. Zimfentra, on the other hand, is the first and only subcutaneous formulation for infliximab that was, as we mentioned, recently approved by the FDA for the treatment of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. The formulation is also different in terms of not only how it's given, so one is IV, one is subcutaneous, but also dosing. So Zimfentra is given as a dose of 120 milligrams every 2 weeks, and it's really aimed towards the maintenance phase of the treatment of both inflammatory bowel diseases.
How does Zimfentra compare to placebo in terms of clinical remission and endoscopic response for both ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, according to your research?
So from the phase three Liberty trials, and there are two trials, the ulcerative colitis trial and this Crohn's disease study, we know that the active drug was better than placebo for the treatment of both Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. These were separate drugs. They were pivotal trials, and Zynfectra demonstrated that it was better achieving the endpoints. That includes the primary endpoint, which was clinical remission, and also endoscopic remission in Crohn's disease when compared to placebo. And that was after a 54-week period. Now, the other goal of the trial was to assess the safety. The safety of Zynfectra was very similar to placebo. And I would say that we have the benefit of having the IV formulation of infliximab and having the experience with it for many, many years. So I would say the safety signal is very similar too.
How might healthcare professionals, such as gastroenterologists, view the availability of Zynfentra, and what impact could it have on their approach to treating patients with IBD?
Most gastroenterologists that treat patients with inflammatory bowel diseases are very familiar with infliximab. As I said, has been available for many years. It has a proven efficacy, a proven safety. And this new formulation, the subcutaneous formulation, really opens a door to treating patients that in the past could not be on infliximab because they had no access to, let's say, IV infusion centers in remote areas, or because of personal reasons, they were not good candidates for receiving infusion. So for physicians, that gives us the opportunity to prescribe this drug in a patient population that before had no access to it. And that's really huge.
What are the potential challenges and barriers to the adoption of Zynfentra in clinical practice, and how can these be addressed?
Overall, we do have the reassurance that the drug works in the long term, right, with the IV formulation. And with the experience in other countries too, I think the main barrier that we have when using this formulation is really the coverage. And payers will have a huge impact on this and how we can use the drug, how we can prescribe it, and how we can position it before or after other drugs. We do have experience with infliximab, so we know it's a drug that works. We have clinical trials that prove that the sub-Q formulation is efficacious and is safe, but the main barrier is going to be access to the drug, just as we see with other drugs, biologics, or small molecules that are currently approved for the treatment of inflammatory bowel diseases.
How important is the role of gastroenterologists in educating patients about the availability of treatments like Zynfentra? And helping them make informed decisions about their IBD management.
Overall, I think physicians and other providers that treat and care patients with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis need to have a conversation with the patient, sit down and review the options that they have. And this is not necessarily only the specific mechanism of action, for example, but also patient preference. What is best for the patient? If a drug that is IV is a good option, but the patient cannot have access, or it's really very inconvenient for the patient and it's going to affect their day-to-day activities, then we may have to choose a subcutaneous, a self-administered drug. So overall, the shared decision-making process is very important. It's important to take the time to discuss all the options. And right now, with this new subcutaneous infliximab formulation, as I said before, opens the possibility of using infliximab, which is a very efficacious drug, in patients that maybe were not the best candidates before.
Given that Zynfentra is the sole subcutaneous infliximab product approved in the United States, how do you anticipate its adoption will fare, particularly in light of the historically sluggish adoption rates seen with infliximab biosimilars?
Well, Zynfectra is actually technically a new biologic, but we have a lot of experience with the drug, right? So it's not a new compound. Physicians have had experience with infliximab. We know what to expect. We know how to use the drug, and we have a lot of experience, not only us, but also at the level of the evidence that is around in the literature around. So even though it's a new biologic, it's really not a new compound. And that's very important because if we are really one of the, it's really important because one of the limitations that we have when a new drug, a completely new drug is launched to market, is that we don't have a lot of experience with it. And even though there may be trials available, sometimes there's a lot of things that we do not know from the trials and that they show up further down the line, and that includes adverse events. So having the experience with the actual compound for many years, specifically since 1998, gives us a huge advantage positioning the drug, and physicians and other providers prescribing treatments for Crohn's and colitis should feel a lot more comfortable using the drug when compared to a completely new compound.
And lastly, do you have any concluding thoughts?
I think it's very exciting for us to have new options to treat inflammatory bowel diseases, and not only newer drugs, but also drugs that we use on a daily basis that we know that they're very efficacious, even though they've been around for a while. But now having the possibility of this subcutaneous route of administration. So it's definitely very exciting and very reassuring for not only us, but also for patients.
Well, Dr. Yarer, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information on everything we discussed in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.